Welcome to SV Pod with Stanford Steve, because you definitely need another podcast saying, was this the greatest weekend of football we've ever seen? Every single podcast on earth is doing this today, but none of them have Stanford Steve except this one. So there you go. There's the sell.
Here we go.
Look, we try to be reasonable, right? That's our thing. Be reasonable. Don't overreact to what we just saw. Okay? Right? I mean, it was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't be better, can it?
No. No chance.
Four consecutive games and on field goals. Three of them are won by road teams. The fourth is tied at the gun. As an aside, 49 yarders now are like layups. Back in the old days, 49 yarder felt like, I don't know, it's like a scratch off lottery ticket. Now, Butker from 49, it's just, it's a layup, no doubt. And then, of course, it's one in overtime. I think the only, I went on with our guy Sheehan this morning, and I think we talked for like an hour and a half, and I don't know if any of it made any sense because the two of us were just willy nilly all over the place, ping ponging back and forth. I feel like the only way to do this and have it be coherent is to go in order. Mm-hmm. So let's start in Nashville Saturday afternoon. Cincinnati wins a game where Joe Burrow sacked 9 times. Mm-hmm. I think you could argue that Jeffrey Simmons was the best player on any field this weekend, and that includes Mahomes and Allen, who were preposterous. But that man is a monster. But Burrow gets sacked 9 times. They don't blink. Tannehill gets picked 3 times. The end of the game was madness. We talked about Burrow last week, competitive arrogance. Dude just believes it and then shows why. I know you know some people at Cincinnati group. What's the takeaway from how they managed to go in and beat the one seed?
Well, it's pretty cool to hear and talk to Scott guys around that organization from the beginning of the season, preseason, and feel how excited they were for the possibility. And, you know, for example, they knew Burrow wasn't going to do one thing. He wasn't going to play one preseason snap in any game, and they were going to go along with it. And guys couldn't be more excited about it because they knew what they had. Was he rusty? Yeah. Were there things to work out? Yes. But to see how they built the roster and using the draft for offense and free agency for defense, you could just feel it like, hey, you know, they could build something in that locker room because everybody outside is just going to look at the uniform and be like, yeah, they're the Bengals. Something's going to happen. And, you know, it won't follow through. That division's too tough. But to hear those guys talk about the strength of the team and how they believed and how much they could put on Burrow's shoulders and the talent they had at the wide receiver position, it was just really cool to see it all play out. And I was telling people, you know, before the season, you know, their goals to win the division. I know that. And people are like, oh, yeah, right. Like, they're going to beat each of those teams once. And I'm like, all right, say what you want. I'm just telling you what they believe in that locker room. They had the goods to do it. And then to see the season pan out, a couple bad losses there. They got smoked by Cleveland early. And it just kept building. And you saw the splash plays from Chase from, you know, the year. But to go on the road and do that against the one seed, I said it last week. They have the feeling to me about the Favre Packers. I believe it was 93 or 94. They went to San Francisco and beat the Niners when it was still the Niners and the Cowboys. And it was like Favre and that group was a year ahead. These guys feel like they're all more than a year ahead with that win at Tennessee. So, I mean, they made plays when they need you. I mean, I don't know how you feel, how you wake up Sunday morning if you're on that Tennessee defense and you're like, we're not playing anymore, because they were incredible. And that could have got out of hand, and they kept it, and they just couldn't overcome. They drove the ball down the field, and turnovers were a huge part. And Cincinnati cashed in on the turnovers, and a rookie kicker on the road, that's just nuts to me. So I just think that all that goes into it, the guys in that locker room deserve a ton of credit for what they accomplished.
Burrow, despite being under, absolute duress from start to finish when they got, and the end game was nuts because there was that down in distance and timeouts where it was like, it was different obviously than Raiders Chargers in overtime because someone had to win this game. But just the way Tennessee was approaching that last possession, I was trying to figure out what's the goal here. Is the goal to bleed more clock? I mean, they had to take a shot because they really were one big pass play, one chunk play, one toss to AJ Brown or Julio Jones from giving Bullock a chance to win it. And instead, the ball bounces up in the air, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay. And then Burrow to Chase, like it was nothing. Oh. Like it was nothing. And then speaking of nothing, McPherson, this kid's a rookie.
Yeah.
And look at the kicks that dude made. Again, like it was nothing. Right down the friggin' middle. It was just the kicking in the NFL now. Like Justin Tucker is on his own island. You just never think he's going to miss. It's 53. It's 60-something against Detroit. You just go, oh, he'll make it. And then he does. But, I mean, when Suckup missed a kick in the Tampa game, it felt like the only kick that was missed outside of, I guess, but I think Butker hit the upright. But when guys miss now, it's more noteworthy than when they make. From yeah, 50
Gay,
some,
Gay being short on a 47-yarder.
Ah, there you go. There was another.
That was eye-opening. I've never seen that in a long time.
Well, no, not from a guy that's, I think he was the all-pro kicker. And, yeah. And that just, that was such an odd reaction because it's like, oh, that's good. Oh, it's short. Like, what? What do you mean it's short? Anyway, Cincinnati winning. Now they get a chance to go to Kansas City. We talk about that game in a minute. I'm just trying to go in the order of it. I felt like Vrabel's comments as we talk on Monday and backing Tannehill, not surprising. You know, Tannehill is a coach's coach, locker room guy, played it, gets it. He's backing his guy. Now, granted, they got a lot of sunk costs there. Mm-hmm. Titan fans are muttering about, gosh, you just can't have that. And you can't turn it over like that. Got to value the football. But I felt like Vrabel, basically, he's speaking to the qualities of toughness and saying it's never one guy because it isn't. It isn't one guy. But when you turn it over and then Cincinnati hits a kick and then the game's over, then there's only one person you're going to blame. And in Tennessee, it's Tannehill. In Green Bay, it could be the MVP, right? I mean, Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay's end, the fact that they've won 39 games in 3 years and don't have a Super Bowl to show for it, that he hasn't been back to a Super Bowl since they won it against Pittsburgh and Dallas. That's 2010.
11 That's years.
Insane. Insane, Steve. Insane. And, you know, we often talk about losing a game. I always say, particularly like, say, an NCAA tournament game. Not surprisingly, I'll use Maryland. When Maryland got beat by Alabama last year in the tournament, Alabama made, I think it was 39 threes. Give or take. You just shrug and you go, well, they're the two seed. They played to their ceiling. You got your ass kicked and it's over. Compare that to, say, Gravis Vasquez losing at the buzzer against Michigan State. That's the loss I'll never get over. I mean, I'll just never get over it. I would think it's easier being a fan of the Washington football team who has had no close calls because I just don't have any. I have no emotional investment. I don't feel I'm not crushed in January. This season just comes to a merciful end. I would think that it would just suck to have been this good for this long and to have so little to show for it. And I'm not talking about didn't win a Super Bowl. I'm talking about didn't win an NFC championship game.
Yeah.
I'm talking about often don't win a game on the home field as the one seed. And each one is its own thing. And there were times where they were significant underdogs against San Francisco on the road a couple of times, and they got beat that way. But man, with the uncertainty about Rodgers and the cap situation being what it is, and this year needing to be the year, and everything pointing to it being that year, for it to end like that without the defense giving up a single touchdown. You talk about Tennessee's defense walking off the field, going, man, how'd that happen? Imagine Green Bay's defense saying, we never gave up a touchdown. We got the MVP. We scored on our first drive and we lost. Yep. That's an incredibly difficult thing to swallow. And you and I were watching it together late. I still don't really know how it happened.
Well, a couple things. I really, really happy for Jimmy Ward of the Niners. That play before the half where Aaron Jones gets a long pass play and a mix up on coverage. And then Ward comes back and blocks the field goal. I thought that was a huge play, a la Tampa fumble Akers we'll get to before the half, because now you're still one possession. And it's and as you saw in the end, it's one play. It's still 7-0. And to see I just love San Francisco, because when I watch them, you could tell every guy on their team just says, we know your quarterback's better, but we don't give a because we're going to be tougher than you and we're going to beat your ass at the line of scrimmage every single chance we get. And it's just fascinating to watch. You look at the guys on their team, they just want to get after it, and they just hung around. And this one was puzzling to me, because this was the first time in the last, say, 5-6 years, I did buy Green Bay. All those years in the past, I worried about their defense, and I finally thought this was the year, because now they get into a weather game, they still have Rodgers in the offense, and the defense is good enough to keep the opponent down. And you just keep going back, and I'm going back through the play. They just never could put it all together.
Nope.
And they couldn't put this one together. And then it's so puzzling, man. So puzzling.
It's hard to win. I say it often about a lot of different sports, but it is, and it's proven time and time again. And I think I reference it, the author of the term, as I know it, Lemon Booty, Bomani Jones, talks about it. The longer that game goes on, and you're a play away. And Green Bay got lucky, because San Francisco got down there close, thought they were getting ready to tie the game at 7s right before the half. Garoppolo makes a bad throw looking for Kittle. And then, to your point, Green Bay got deep. They had the shot for the field goal. I was happy that the guy that got beat deep was the one that got the block.
Yeah.
But the longer, Steve, that game goes on and you're a single play away from being tied, and then it turns into a block punt straight up in the air, which I've never seen, no one on the field know where the ball is, and you're tied, it has to get tense, and the pressure's got to be higher on the team of whom all the expectation, it's in their lap. And you've got the MVP, and you still got the ball, and you got to make a drive, and they couldn't.
Nope.
And, you know, it's really easy to take screenshots, you know, show those. I love that, whatever that technology is that Barnwell's got that shows the play, like, like the RomoVision. It's like the RomoVision thing that they use on the broadcast. It's real easy. Lazard's wide open. Yep. I saw it. There he is. Rodgers didn't see it. Well, we're on our couch, or in our case, Cleveland Park Barn Grill. Shout to H. Watching in the relative warmth. It was kind of cold out there in the deck. No big deal. But it's real easy for us to point to it and go, there he is. But Rodgers missed him. And then San Francisco knew, like, one of the big overused things that happens when we talk about football is they have an identity. But I'd say what? San Francisco has an identity. And they ran a 3rd-and-7 trap to Deebo Samuel, and they got it. And Garoppolo made some big time throws. It was the same throw every time, that little slant to Kittle about 4 times and once or twice to Deebo. But when it was 3rd-and-7 and they were not in Gold's field goal range, they ran a trap because that's what they do, and they got it. And then, you know, is it Vinatieri against the Raiders? No. But I mean, it's still snowing and it's still 45 yards, and Gold comes out, who's never missed a playoff field goal, and it's right down the cock. Shot to Buck Showalter. I mean, it's just it's not an inch left of center, and it's over. And I don't know, man. I don't know what you do if you're Green Bay. I don't know how you make it make any sense. Before we move on, two things I want to mention. Check out First Draft with Mel Kiper Jr., Todd McShay, and Field Yates, the new papa. That's awesome. Every Monday and Thursday, the guys are keeping tabs on the NFL draft. You can listen to First Draft wherever you get your podcasts or watch the show on YouTube. And 30 for 30 has a new entry into the award-winning film series on the way. The tuck rule examines one of the most controversial plays in sports history. For the first time, Charles Woodson and Tom Brady discussed the call that changed it all. Watch it live February 6th, 8 Eastern on ESPN, or watch it the next day on ESPN+.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, here's one thing I'll say, and that's, we'll get to Kansas City and Buffalo and Tennessee and all the teams that lost, right? Everybody's like, oh, what are they going to do now? What can they do? How can they get better? I got news for people, okay? You don't have your best every day. The idea is to play your best. You don't have it every day. And I think back to the Chiefs early this year, right? And how bad they looked. You know what Andy Reid did? He stuck with his guys. And they worked on things. And look at them now.
Mm-hmm.
And now, that's... Hold on.
To be fair, he's got some guys to stick with.
Yeah.
Right?
But I mean, Green Bay's guys look pretty good in the regular season, right?
No, listen, no doubt. But what you're saying here is just stay the course and do what you do. That's fine, but the salary cap constraints and the issues that you have from the financials, no team's ever the same walking out of a locker room at the end of the season as it is the following year. Tampa Bay came as close as you'll ever come for a championship winning team. A lot of dudes stuck around. I hear what you're saying. Kansas City didn't panic when everybody around them was saying, well, they've been figured out. Mm-hmm. You just do the two high safeties and that's it. How's that working out? How's that
Buffalo,
two high
safeties? I don't think Buffalo ran a defensive snap without two safeties. Yeah. How did that do?
Yeah. Well,
you understand what I'm saying, right?
1,000%.
It's a play here. It's a play there. You're in there.
Of course it is.
You're the one seed. Like, sometimes you lose, man. It happens.
Yep.
And when it keeps happening like this, yeah, it's frustrating. So I'm sorry, but nothing's going to be you can't get magic overnight. So I don't know what to tell people. Like, it's just, what do you do now? You sit and you'd be pissed about it for a while.
There you go. I was going to say, you wake up
and you remember that feeling of what a loss feels like.
You eat it.
Yes.
And then you wake up and you eat it again and you hate it and you chew on it and you swallow it because you got to own it. You got to wear it. You got to whatever, how Mike Tomlinisms of the day. And then you try to figure it out. But I'm with you. I mean, and we have a great staff, but you know, when we talk about stuff and people are like, well, should they get rid of this guy? No, this is real life. This is real life. This is, you don't just make it, just wave a wand. It's hard to win these games.
No.
Look at this weekend. Like, look at the difference. Look at the difference in every single game. It's a play.
Yeah.
It's a play in all of them. And that's the difference. All week long, Stanford Steve asked me, are the Rams, you had this sneaking suspicion about them. Like, are they going to go? Are they going to win? Mm-hmm. You were asking me all week long. And very early on, you knew two things. Number one, Stafford and the offense were comfortable and they were going to get theirs. Maybe not all at once, but they're going to move it. They're not bothered. They're going to get theirs. And you knew that 12 was uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You knew it immediately. Now, no Wirfs, the O-line issues. That's a bad group to have O-line issues against. And the Rams got after Brady and they made it difficult. And frankly, I and Collinsworth and Michaels are as good as it is. I don't fault them for doing it because in the end, they were right. But it felt to me like much of the second half was, well, you know, Brady, you never know. And I'm thinking, fellas, we're watching this game. I know they're not coming up. They're not coming back. They're not catching them. Just, it just isn't there. Right. It wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then one bomb to Evans. And all of a sudden, same kind of deal as the Green Bay, where now there's tension because, oh, wait, they're a play away from tying us. They're a score away from tying us. And playing to protect the lead is so much different than playing to build a lead. You don't play the same. Although the Rams gave it to Akers and then he puts it on the field and all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, Lavonte David has the ball. Brady's going to tie it. He made a deal with the devil. And they did. I couldn't be happier, Steve, for a guy than for Matthew Stafford.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this through the years. Know him some. Just a regular dude. Always respected how he did it in Detroit, played hurt, tried to live up to the rep of being a one. They didn't have a great record, like quarterback record, like it was his fault. Okay. Anyway, and he got his chance there and yep. had to make a throw. And somehow, as Bruce Arians explained afterwards, they didn't have, everybody went on the same page when they went zero and Cooper Kupp runs down the middle of the field and Stafford throws a perfect ball. And then here comes Gay to kick a field goal, game over. That felt like the least nuts of all of them. And in a way, it was kind of the most nuts because of who it was and how it happened. That as I think back on it, does that make any sense?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That I told you that was my most fascinating game of the weekend because yes, I didn't know how it was going to play out. I knew the Rams were going to have the advantage on the D-line, but I thought Brady, with a week to prepare, without worse, would have something ready. Knowing how they've always come up with something, whether it was him and McDaniels or him and Arians last year, and they didn't do some things that I thought they would, and that's what was...
Like what? Like what?
Just help the right tackle with protection. And you have guys like Miller and Evans, like if you kept more guys in to protect, then you could let those guys go to work. And I just thought I would see more of that. And you could tell the first couple third downs, Tom got pressure off of his left tackle. So that I think that really kind of spooked him a little bit because that's his best lineman, I would say, in pass protecting, especially when you compare to the tackle sides. But I got to tell you, Scott, Stafford says after the game, Kupp is running a for love of the game route. I can't tell you how many times I ran that route begging for a blitz because you knew you were getting the ball and you're in center field. So we used to have this play 22KC, right? So it's the Z who's to the tight end and he's off the line of scrimmage. And you want to try and the tight end runs that for love of the game route. You just run straight down the middle of the field, occupy the safety so he can't come over and help on a 12-yard comeback that the Z runs. We ran that to death. Troy Walters caught 100 balls a year doing that. One time I wanted there to be a blitz so I maybe could just put my arm up and it would be off to the races. It never happened. And to see Cooper Kupp in that idea, that route, and know what he's doing, and Stafford know if I got zero, he sees a pre-snap, guess who he's throwing it to?
Stanford Steve.
Straight down the middle of the field, man. Like, I can't, like, I had to laugh. I never heard that saying when Stafford said for love of the game route, but it's so true. Like, yep, tight end runs a takeoff, outside Z, 12-yard comeback, one-on-one. We ran it 20 times a game. And just to see that work out and them get a trip to the NFC Championship on that kind of idea and execution, because it's one thing that it happens, like, hey, I'm open, but he's still got to see you. That's a risky throw in that circumstance, and it's right on the money. And you love Stafford. I love Stafford. I still never forget the year the Falcons were playing the Patriots. I see Stafford in the airport. It's a Saturday before the game. We're both flying out. And that was the year he had the thumb. Remember, they had the thumb?
Oh, yeah.
And they kept, and he just said, I'm fine. I'm good with it. So this is Super Bowl Saturday. Like, this is the day before the Super Bowl. So this is a month over Stafford being done with the season. He still had his splint on his thumb, and he couldn't shake my hand. That's how bad his thumb was, and that's what he played through. Like, I'll never forget that. And him just saying, I'm fine. Stop asking about my thumb. It wasn't fine. He was really, really hurt. And he played through that, man. Like, that is you talk about tough, like all the little things, getting a snap, hitting it on a helmet after a throw, like all the little things that could happen. He just fought through it and always put it on himself. I'm so happy for him because they turned the ball over four times. It wasn't his fault one time.
No.
He put the ball right where he needed to every time. And to see it go down, like, holy, he's going to get killed for this. And he didn't do one thing wrong.
Nope. But it was going to end up at his feet because wins and losses are a quarterback stat, which means Josh Allen gets the loss for what he did yesterday. That makes lots of sense. My God, what a game. My God, what a football game. And I feel so terrible for Buffalo because I don't know what you do. So if I have this right on Allen, the last two times he touched the football, it's a 4th-and-13 touchdown to Gabriel Davis. Mm-hmm. That gives him the lead. 2-point conversion, Stephon Diggs, 29-26. Mm-hmm. Okay, Mahomes to Tyreek Hill. Peace. Touchdown 36-33-29. Okay, cool. Now we get the ball with a minute. Couple more 4th-down conversions. An absolute cannon shot to Gabriel Davis down the middle. We got the lead. There's 13 seconds. We're going to win. And that never touched the ball again. So on the one hand, if you're Buffalo, you have to look at yesterday and say, we got the guy, right? We got the guy. We're going to have to deal with this monster in Arrowhead, and we're going to have to deal with Mahomes forever, seemingly. But if we're going to have to do that, we got the guy to at least give us a chance. Because whatever those odds are, you know, predictive, you know, 90 blank percent chance, none of that factors in who the on the other side is. Excuse my language, but that's the only way. Look, there's a term in basketball, right? And that term I just used that got beeped, it means a good thing. Mm-hmm. You need some of that. You need some MFers. 15 is that. And my goodness, what him and Kelsey just tells him whatever the route is, I'm not running it. And Kelsey's and Mahomes is there at the line of scrimmage saying, do it, Kels, do it. At the line of scrimmage with 8 seconds left, right down the seam. Boom. I mean, as great as Allen was, and he was awesome, Mahomes was this much better. And I've been doing this a long time. I got to cover Tiger at his peak. We've seen outrageous stuff. I can't remember a game that was emotionally sort of like just thrilling to me where I had nothing to gain or lose. I was just that thrilled and moved by what I saw from the people, man. And my mom said it to me. This is my 81-year-old mom. She's like, just that's going to be better than the Super Bowl. I said it. I'm like, yep, mom, you're right. You're right. And I said, like, listen, if the Super Bowl is better, then we all win. But I just can't recall a game, and particularly the last 2 minutes, that were more thrilling. And I don't know what more sports can give you than that.
Yeah, I just keep going back and watching it back today. What these two offenses asked their quarterbacks to do, Scott. The two fourth downs, the Bills get first drive, sets the tone for today. We are here. We're buttoned up. You're not going to bully us.
Nope.
15 comes down and scrambles for freaking 50 yards and says, all right, you want to drop coverage all day? Here, I'm going to run it right up your, you know what?
A couple of third downs where they look like they had him on the ground. Yep. Nope.
No.
That's such an under-discussed part of it. How often he has nothing and you never get a clean shot. Mm-mm. He's got a sixth sense about where to go, and then he just murders you with those third down scrambles. He did repeatedly on that game tying drive.
Yeah. And it's just, you factor in, all right, hey, first down, we're going to run quarterback sweep with Josh Allen. Then we're going to run quarterback draw. All right, it's third and nine. I'm going to need you to hit a 15-yard in to Gabriel Davis. Now, like, the athletic ability, the sense of not ever even looking tired. He might be tired, but he sure doesn't look it. And to be able to produce play after play on the road in that environment, it's nuts, man. And then 15 is just says, I'm going to top you. And going back finally on that last one to Kelsey, I don't know why that corner is so wide there. And that's why I think Kelsey and Mahomes are seeing that, knowing he's so wide and Kelsey's fast enough that he doesn't have to get wide. He can run straight down the field and still get that extra 7 yards or whatever you're going to get it inside 50 yards for the field goal. So it's execution. It's on that stage, and then with those stakes, it doesn't get any better. And that to me, like, that's the game. And people want to just nitpick this and that and every, like, it's football. It went to overtime. Both teams know the rules in overtime. One team won and one team lost. And that's sports, man. There's not going to be, everybody's not going to be happy. And yes, I'm sick for Buffalo fans knowing you're that close, but I believe that was the Super Bowl. I those are the two best teams to me, and I think Kansas City rides it from here. And Buffalo, I wouldn't change a thing. You know, nope. What you got, and just stay on that grind. Stay on that grind.
I think that's the right answer, because, I mean, you couldn't go back and you can nitpick yourself and you could say, should we have kicked it short? Should we have done something that forced them to field it in a way that would have bled the clock? Because that was your biggest asset, was that, yep, they had so little time. Could you have done, as many have suggested, just do that deal where you just tackle everybody off the line of scrimmage, take the 5-yard penalty and allow some clock to bleed with only costing you 5 yards? Sure. Look, if you're Buffalo, you've got a long ass cold winter in Buffalo to think about what you could have done in 13 seconds. Any of which would have been better than what they did. But I also think you could spend 6 months just looking at what you did and looking at what your quarterback did, mm-hmm, that gave you those 13 seconds that ultimately are so painful to now try to reconcile. And nod your head, say, all right, that stung. Mm-hmm. That left a welt. It's a scar, frankly. But it took that.
Yes.
From them.
Correct.
What did it require from them? Everything. You go back and you talk about Frazier and Ali, and you hear those lines. Frazier, you know, I hit him with shots that would have brought down the walls of a city. And he didn't win. Mm-hmm. But it took that, right? Like, it took that to beat you. Not that there's satisfaction in it, but there ought to be eventually, that's what it took to beat you. And Cincinnati's, if they're listening to you and me go talk right now, they're going, wait, we don't get 60 on the clock? Yeah, you do. Mm-hmm. You earned those 60. And you beat them in your place. But that was your place. And this is a stage they've been on now 4 straight years, and you're brand new to it. So the biggest surprise moving forward would be if somehow Cincinnati were able to go onto that stage and look comfortable, because you're not supposed to be.
No.
Not supposed to be. But if anybody could be, It's that cat under center.
Mm-hmm.
So you get 60 minutes and maybe you earn 60 more. But I joke at the beginning that everybody and their mother that's doing a podcast, it's all some version of this. And I don't know if any of this is original thought or original content. It's all of us just wanting, you know what it really is? I call Big Cat driving home because I knew they would have just done their podcast. And I was like, I just wanted to keep talking about football and I knew you were awake. And I got home. I'm sitting in my garage and we're still just rambling over, well, what about this? And what about that? And it was that kind of day where it was, again, thrilling. It was just, that's as good as sports get. And you said it so well, like somebody loses and it sucks. And the margins being as narrow as they were, it only invites you to think about what could have been, what would have been, what might have been. I mean, you can't ask for anything more. I haven't done a block sports center like that where I felt like I was shot out of a cannon in a while. That's as fun as this job's fun. Like all the time, nights like that. Giddy up.
Hard to beat. Did you see the note about the Jags?
What part of it?
Their three wins. They beat the. Did you see it? They beat the Dolphins. That caused the Dolphins not to go to the playoffs. They beat the Colts. That caused the Colts not to go to the playoffs. And they beat Buffalo, and that caused that game yesterday to be at Arrowhead and not in Buffalo. Like, my God.
Yeah, they didn't do a lot well, but they certainly have an imprint on it. I wrote one big thing for SportsCenter tonight about overtime. And I would prefer they put 10 minutes on the clock. And just because this is amazing, and it's a very small sample size, but it's enough of one where I'm like, been 11 playoff games with this overtime format. The team that wins the coin toss has won 10. Seven of those 11, they score a touchdown on the opening drive. That's a lot. That's a lot to put on the vagary of a coin toss. Do you get to play defense if you lose a toss? Of course you do. But think of how sapped emotionally and mentally both teams are at the end of that game. And the ask, hey, you got to go stop one of these offenses now or you lose. I just think that's unreasonable. And there's 13 seconds left. Buffalo, get a stop. No doubt. And this is where Chief fans go, well, we didn't get the ball when Brady. You're right. And I wanted Mahomes to get the ball in 2018. You know, this isn't anti-Chiefs rhetoric. This is just common sense. It's a better product, in my opinion, if there's another kickoff yesterday and you get to find out if Allen can answer. I just, no one didn't want that except people in Chiefs gear. And if they don't change it, they don't change it and whatever. It'll continue being what it is. I just believe that 10 minutes on the clock, play for 10 minutes and whoever leads at the end of it wins. I just feels way more equitable to me. I don't know. I haven't even asked you what you think of this.
I don't know. I just keep going back to like, that's the rule. Yeah, it sucks. The greatest game we've watched in years. The other guy didn't get the ball, but I just think over a course of a game, like you get enough chances.
Listen, I hear what you're saying. And again, Buffalo, stop them. Don't let Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce run untouched off the line of scrimmage. You get 44 yards in 8 seconds. Don't let that happen. No doubt you're right. It's just now it's a coin toss and you lose and you could lose the game because you lost a coin toss. Again, this is where you say, well, stop them. I get it. Mm-hmm. Was Kansas City stopping Buffalo if they won the toss? I'm saying no. And I'm saying had that happened, I'd be saying to you today, shouldn't Mahomes have gotten to touch the ball? Because this is not a Buffalo or Kansas City talking point. It's just what I think makes more sense. I'm pragmatic as hell when it comes to this. What you're saying, though, I can't argue with. You had 60.
Yeah, I got.
They signed nothing. Up for 60.
Yeah, you know? I got nothing. Fair enough. Man. Like I said, people just want to change this and that. I'm like, that's the game, man.
Yeah,
that's
I hear you.
The game.
All right, no argument. That's where you land with this. Is there anything else to talk about? Did you have any talking points? Anything you wanted to get to? As we talk, by the way, I'm watching a replay of the on the NFL Network of this game. Bills are getting ready to go in and score at halftime. What a game that was. Oh. What a weekend. Holy smokes. I have something I hate.
Steve and I have lengthy lists. Talking about this guy or this thing or this whatever. Once a week. One thing a week.
Here's what I hate.
It's me a lengthy edit. We did a lot of cussing today, Steve. Sorry. Schwink. This is not related to any of what we've talked about, but it's something that I hate. It has to stop. Got the boys in basketball right now. Little guys, we're working on basketball.
Learning on the fundies?
You know what's interesting? Little man's a lefty. His lefty handle's tight. His right hand is might as well have a frying pan attached to his arm. Not great. Anyway, what do they do when they teach the youngsters how to shoot? Got to hold that gooseneck, right? Hold your follow through. That's how you learn to shoot the basketball. Reach your hand into the cookie jar. However you teach it. Shout to Kid Ball, Montgomery County. My guy, Ronnie. Same guy from flag football. Mean Gene screen and go. Lethal. Anyway, so from the time you're taught to shoot a basketball, what do? Try to be balanced if possible. Try to get your shoulders square. Bend the knees. Follow through. Gooseneck. Hold it. Not anymore. What I hate, Steve, is end of game scenario. And this happens at the college level and the pro level. 5-4-3-2-1. Shot goes up. What does the shooter do, Steve?
Shoots it and falls down.
Doesn't fall. Actively dives like a mortar has gone off. What are we doing? And I'm talking about the best shooters that have ever lived. Steph Curry does it. I watched Jokic do it the other night in that ridiculous game against the Clippers. Incredible, where he had that triple-double through that amazing cross-court pass to Gordon. You know what Gordon didn't do on that shot when he caught it? He didn't fall down. He caught it in the pocket. He went straight up. He shot it. Buckets. Cash. Who's got next? I don't understand when it became the cool thing to shoot it and the second your soles of your feet touch the court, to just hit the eject button and dive. Stop it. Maybe is this old guy? I don't care. I am. Just land on balance. Gooseneck. Follow through. Stop diving on the ground after you shoot a game winner. It never goes in because you're too busy falling and diving. All right. I feel better.
Good job.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay. I always feel bad when we end with me screaming, cussing.
I love it.
That's the end of the podcast, everybody. We'll see you guys next week. Who's going to be in the Super Bowl on the way out?
On the way out, Chiefs for the limit Sunday. I'll lay 9.5. All spread plus money.
It's when he drives his daughters down across the bridge and buys some fast food while he runs into the bodega to fire. Okay. I hope none of your Bengals sources listen to this. They're going to be like, damn.
I have no idea about the NFC.
I would agree with that.
Is that you? You talk about signing up for 60? Oh, man.
Just this reminder, Rams, you let him in it. You let him back up off the deck. 17-0, you got him down. Wonder how many of the faithful are going to get in. LA's trying to tighten up the ranks.
Good luck.
You know what? There's a lot of San Francisco fans that live in Los Angeles, so you're going to try to keep the red out of that building on Sunday? I don't know about all that. Incredible weekend of football. Fun to talk about it. We cussed a lot.
Sounded great.
Okay. Well, that's debatable. Have a great week, everybody.